over this next month, the month of September, starting today and for the next 4 weeks today included, we are opening up into a sermon series titled, What's Your Story? And I hope that over the next few weeks we'll be able to hear not just the stories of others, but the story that God is writing on each of our hearts. I don't know if you've ever seen children at bedtime, but can I tell you about my children at bedtime? My children at bedtime have one desire on their hearts, and that's for a story. Story time. And in fact, even when my kids were in nursery school, the teacher had a little song that came before story time. And so they would often sing that song to me. They would sing down the passage, story time is here, story time is here. Come and listen very, very quietly. That's the song that the teacher sang. So often they would sing this song down the passage to me, letting me know, now is the time. Now it's story time. And then we go either myself or Claire would go and read them a story. It's in bed, it's snuggly, it's in winter, it's warm, in summer it's too warm, but it's one of those things. And as that began to take root and have routine in our lives, we then saw that it was also a place of comfort for them, that was the one time in the day they knew they could call, and if they sang the song, we had to come, unlike the other times in the day. And they wanted the story because it helped them to settle into the time of going to sleep. Even now, my 12-year-old every now and then will whip out a Tintin and say, it's time, Dad, let's go read Tintin before bed. And my younger ones as well. And so, mine or Claire's voice, reading, soothing, being in that moment was incredibly important. It reminded them that they're not alone, that there are others in this world with us, that they have hope. And that's the power of stories. It's the power of being able to bring people together and make things work. And that's what the next few weeks will be about stories that are being told. I know I've spoken about bedtime stories, but the question for us is, what's our story? How can it bring us together? How can we move in this world through stories? And so, storytelling, I believe, is how we make sense of the world. Stories can make us laugh. They can make us cry. They can make us think of different parts of the world that we hadn't thought about. They can make us rethink our world. They can help us to find courage again and to step into a new day. And today we're going to read from Matthew chapter 13. We're not going to read this verse, though. In chapter 13, verse 34, it says, Jesus always used stories and illustrations when speaking to the crowd. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. Jesus was an excellent storyteller. He used it throughout his ministry. Everywhere that he went, he would tell stories. And in fact, we know that almost one-third of everything recorded by Jesus in the Gospels is a parable. It's a story. One that Jesus used not just to give facts and to say X and Y, but to weave something into people's lives. We know that there are more than 40 unique parables in the Gospels alone. Stories that help us to draw nearer to God. In fact, I believe that stories are so effective in our lives, so effective in our faith, that if I did this, if I said to you, think about a story of seeds and soil, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Maybe some of you can share what comes to mind. Seeds and soil, what do you think of? The sower. Okay. And there are other stories that Jesus uses, seeds and soil. If I said to you, shepherds and sheep, man, there's plenty. What's the first story that comes to your mind if I say shepherds or sheep? The lost sheep. Okay. The sheep coming into the gate. Any others? There are many. Jesus uses stories about shepherds and sheep throughout. If I said to you stories about fathers and sons, parable of the prodigal, it immediately comes to mind. If I said to you a good Samaritan, Can you tell me the whole story without blinking? You can. The power of stories in the Gospels is massive. So when the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke in stories, this was his reply. Thank you, Pam.
The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus didn't hide truth. He revealed it. He was saying that stories help each of us to see. He was saying that they help us to hear and they help us to bring and come nearer to God. And when we come, then we are healed. And that's what stories do. They heal. They break down prejudice. They open our hearts and lives to something new. They build trust. Many people in our world will say that stories have no place in our lives after a certain age. That there comes a time where we need to get down into the facts and the reality of things. But Jesus knew well that facts and reality are contained in stories. How do we change somebody's mind? How do we change our own heart and mind? We listen to stories. We see the world in a different way. There is a quote that I like. It's by Jean Knudsen Hoffman. And he says that an enemy is one whose story we have not heard. An enemy is one's story we have not heard. How often have you found yourself in a place where something's happened around you and you get angry, only to hear a few minutes later somebody's reason for doing what they've done, somebody's story behind what's happened and brought them to that place, and all of a sudden you've needed to take a step back and say, actually, I'd misunderstood. That story, that telling, that being in that moment has allowed something to come out and changed an enemy into a friend. Now, in our Methodist movement, in our Methodist tradition, we know that stories are also important. John Wesley's journals weren't just theological treaties. They weren't just a writing down of him saying, this is what the Methodist people need to believe. They were testimonies. Throughout his life and his ministry, John Wesley would write down the stories that he heard from other people. He would see what was happening in a community and tell that story in his journals. And we have those journals today. There was a moment where John Wesley said that his heart was strangely warmed at Aldersgate. And that story then began to spread through the Methodist people. Anglican people. Because at that time he was an Anglican priest, an Anglican minister. And he began to tell his story to say, there was a moment that God did something in me. And that was the beginning of the Methodist movement, that he was able to say, this is my story. This is what happened in my life. And now I know something needs to happen afterwards. Something needs to come out of this. And that story lit a fire that spread across continents. Here we sit at the tip of Africa many, many years later, 300 years later. And that story is still able to move in us as a people and take us to a new place. John Wesley then knew that when people gather together, we need to tell stories. We need to share our lives. When class meetings got together, when home groups were formed, they didn't gather for lectures. They didn't gather to be spoken at. Rather, they gathered to tell their own stories. It's a well-known phrase within Methodism, but it's lost a little bit of its drive, was the question of how goes it with your soul? What's happening in your life? How are things with you? And can you see somebody then pulling out their calendar and saying, on Wednesday I had a meeting for this, and on Friday I did that, and then, do you see people doing that? They don't do that. When somebody says, how are you? What's going on? How's your life? How's your soul? Do you notice that the first thing people do is begin to tell stories? Would you believe when I met so-and-so this week that this happened? Can you hear a story from somebody that when they share their lives, they don't just share facts, they don't share theological truths, they share their story? And John Wesley knew this, and as people gathered together in their times together, that they found simple stories of transformation carried the Methodist movement, carried the beginning of everything. And so our tradition was built on the conviction that stories aren't optional extras. They're the very fuel of our revival. They're the very basis of our faith. They're the start of everything. There's a well-known writer who I read quite regularly. Her name was Rachel Held Evans, and I say was because she passed away a few years ago. She was quite young, but actually she was my age. Was my age, however you say that. But she was a storyteller, and she told many stories, and she once said that faith isn't about being sure of where you're going. It's about trusting the one who goes with you. That there's one who joins our story and walks with us. She also reminds us that stories told truthfully are what keep us grounded in our humanity and in our faith. And I'll say that again. Stories told truthfully are what keep us grounded in our humanity and in our faith. When we are willing to look at our own lives, our own story, and not try and cover it up with something good, not try and take a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth picture so we can post just the right one on social media. When we don't try and hide the many things that are not going well in our lives, that's where our faith is grounded. That's where our humanity in God comes out in real ways. I believe Rachel Held Evans' voice echoes Wesley's. The church is at its best when we're not just reciting doctrine, we're not just gathering together because of the ritual, but we become a living, breathing, and sharing community. That our stories that are filled with honesty and courage live in this place. And that we have opportunity here to speak them, to share them, to be in a place that's real. It's why Trinity says again and again, if you're not in a home group, join a home group. It's why I've said before from this pulpit and from every pulpit in this place that this interaction is unfair. Me standing with a microphone saying something to you is unfair because you don't have opportunity to respond to me now. So where does our faith really take root? Where does it really happen? It's in those places where we can tell our stories and share our lives. It happens in small groups. It happens in places of ministry. It happens, you wouldn't have seen it, but I saw it as the worship team gathered this morning before and started to speak about what's going to happen next. Those moments where somebody says, "How are you?" And this church has provided a place which is open and says, "You have a place where you can share that story." Are you with me? That's what it's really about. Because there is spirituality in your story. Stories are a pathway to spiritual growth. Stories are a pathway to something new. We only discover the true shape of our lives when we step back and see it as a narrative. When we see God in our story and God with us. Because stories help us to connect dots together of many different parts of our lives. The joys, the failures, the contradictions. How often do you feel that your life is disconnected? Do you go to work and you're one person, you go home and you're a different person? What everybody sees on social media is a third person altogether. Do you ever find yourself in a place where you realize that you're disconnected from different parts of your life? That's what stories can do. That's how stories can help us, I believe, in that instead of isolating events, the story of our life can link together to what it's supposed to look like. But what's the one common denominator in all of that? The one is that God is with us in each of those places, in each of those moments. And so God is the one who can bring our story together, can hold it in one place with one narrative and say, "This is actually who you are. This is actually the story that you have to tell," and can bring those dots together. And when we find ourselves in a place that says, "I'm a different person at work to a different person at home," what is the common thing there? It's God. And if we say, "I follow God where I work and I follow God where I live," if we say that I follow God on all the social media that I'm on, if we say that I follow God when I'm at the shop buying bread, then we are able to say, what's the thing that brings it all together? It's God. And if I act in God and with God and I tell my story through God in each of these, can you see that it will bring them all together? In that way, stories for us are a pathway to spiritual growth, to something new and to something changing. While our lives might look from the outside like a mishmash of events, they do reveal the pattern of grace woven through them all. In other words, I'm trying to say that telling our story is how we recognize God's story in us. How we tell our story is how we see the dots that connect everything together. And it's only when we step back and look at our lives and look at God in our lives that we're able to do that. Every one of us does have a story to tell. Every one of us has something in our lives which has shaped our victories and defeats, has given us a moment where we are able to identify our heartbreaks and our hopes and everything in between. And when we realize that God has been part of it all along, it begins to make sense and to open up into something else. But maybe you've thought my story isn't special. Maybe you've thought nobody wants to hear my story. Maybe you've thought there are other people who have a better one to tell than I do. I'm going to say that's not true. You have a story, and you have a story with God. Yours is important, and hearing it, not only for yourself, but sharing it with other people, is also important. Your story, your testimony, if we're going to use church language, is living proof of how God has worked in your life. You are the living proof of God with you. And only you can tell your story. Only you can remember what you know. Only you can connect those dots together and say, "This is who I am. This is who God has been in my life." And so ask yourself, how can my story be used in my life? How can my story be used to show love to somebody else? How can my story be used to bring light and joy into this world? Because that's what God wants to do through each one of us. In other words, how do we use our stories like Jesus did through the Gospels and through not only our scripture reading today, which reminded us that Jesus kept saying, your story has something to give into the world. Jesus kept saying that there is hope here and truth here, and when we find that together, then we can be healed and life can change. I believe some of the answer to Jesus lies also in Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near. We can use our stories to encourage others. Jesus told us that stories have the ability to bring life and to heal and to break something new into our lives, into the world. And so we show love. We do it in many different ways, but I want to give us just three things today to take away and to go do in the week. It's to ask and to listen and to tell. First, we ask ourselves, what is it in my life that I need to be sharing with others? What is it in my life that is the story that I need to tell, the God story through me? What is it that I need to ask somebody else as well? How many times do we find ourselves just on surface level? How are you? Yep, fine. Everything okay? Yep, great. What are the moments where we need to go a little bit deeper and ask somebody their story? What's happened to you? How's your week really been? What are the things that are going on here? And that was one of the many things that John Wesley did very well. He would stop and ask somebody, how are you doing? How goes it with your soul? Not, has your day been all right? Not, what was the traffic like? How goes it with your soul? And we can do that with ourselves, and we can do it with others, and we can begin bringing stories back into our world. We can listen, which is incredibly important. Don't just wait to your turn to speak. But listening says your life matters, your story matters. And you'll find that as soon as you stop to listen to somebody else, they begin to listen to you. And if you say, my story doesn't matter because nobody wants to hear it, stop and listen to somebody else's story and see how very quickly they then ask you, how goes it with you? How are you doing? And then tell your story. Tell the story of God in your life and say it regularly. This is how the gospel works. Not just that we gloss over things and we leave it alone, but that our story, the very things that are happening in our lives that God is doing, that's what we need to be sharing. That's how other people come to know what it means to follow Christ, because they can see it in our lives. They can hear it in our stories. How are you doing today? And you go into a moment which says, do you know the goodness that I've seen around me? Do you know what's happened in my family? Do you know the good stuff that God is doing with me? And then you'll see that people begin to pick up and listen. It's not a Bible in my hand saying, did you read Genesis chapter 4? It says this. Where we say, this is what God did for me. This is how God opened up my life, and that conversation can then grow from there. That story can then begin to build, and something new can happen. And so that's my challenge for this week, those three. Will you ask, will you listen, and will you tell? Ask what your story is and what somebody else's story is. Will you listen deeply to what God is saying in your life and what God is saying through others? And will you have the courage to tell your story? To know that God is with you and to share that with as many people as you possibly can. We're on the beginning of a series, and the next 4 weeks are going to speak about stories and our stories. But today was important to hear from Jesus that stories grow and build our lives, and that the next 4 weeks are going to build into that. Will you journey with us as we go? Will you find hope and goodness in it? There are some things that are happening around the church property over the next few weeks as well, where you'll be invited to take some photographs, to tell your story, to be part of it. But today, will you think about what your story is? And will you hear the words, your story is important to God? You need to share it.